Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. It was just a simple testimony of faith, almost too simple. Like one of those poignant words that kind of live forever. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Perhaps something like John F. Kennedy when he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." Well, maybe not the same depth, but still, the whole idea that it fit the moment when Kennedy said that, and it meant what it meant, so people still say it today. Or calling the bombing of Pearl Harbor the Day of Infamy. And you can put those three words together, and they poignantly say it all without expressing it in five dozen words. Simple testimony of faith. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, not the sins, not the little ones that add up to something, but the condition of us human beings, finding ourselves bound to sin, finding ourselves outside of God's grace, finding ourselves without hope and in despair over the fact that we know not what we are and yet something is drastically wrong. Takes away the sin, the all of it, the whole of it in the atonement to all. And you can list some of the worst sinners and say, did it count for them? Yes. What about the man who injected his own son with AIDS virus so that he wouldn't have to make payments to support the kid? Yes, for that man who now sits in prison for life in prison. And we say, that was a sinner who would take life, precious life that God gives, and would throw it away. But what about Saddam Hussein when he gasses his own people? Yes, it covered that. For sin is universal. And we all find ourselves in the same spot. We all find ourselves needing a Savior. Like people who stand up for the Golden Globe Awards or an athlete who says, praise God, or thank you, Jesus. And we may have different reactions. Still, it's just a simple testimony that there's more to the person than the person. But John's testimony got him in dire trouble. He not only testified in that simple statement, but he dared to say some other things that ultimately cost him his life. To the Pharisees who came out for baptism, he said to them, "Who warned you about the coming wrath? Bear fruits that befit repentance. You brood of vipers." And you don't win friends and influence people by talking that way, you see. To Herod, he said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Simple statement of faith. No sermon. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Simple statement of faith. This is the one who ranks before me because he was before me. I'm not worthy to untie his shoes. No real depth there, except it does talk about the eternal Christ who always was and is to come. And yet, not a huge sermon. Simple statement of faith. And yet these ultimate simple statements of faith ultimately cost John his life because Herod was mad, threw him in prison, and you know the rest of the story. How he was shamefully executed, using his life, giving his life on behalf of the gospel. Jesus said of John the Baptist, "There was no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist," because he would testify to the Christ. Not his power, not his money, not his brains, not all the other things that we think are so important, but because he would have the testimony of Jesus on his lips, he became the greatest of all men born to women at that time. And ultimately lost his life, as the writer in Hebrews says, "The world was not worthy of them. They were sawn in two, they were dyed by the sword, and the world wasn't worthy of them," including, of course, thinking of John the Baptist. But his death and his simple testimony of faith only proves that we've been doing something correct and something right. Jesus also said, The kingdom of God comes, the kingdom of heaven comes in the face of the earth, and it advances forcefully, and men of violence, or men forcefully, take hold of it. They oppose it. It is when we are doing something right, when we are giving simple testimony to Jesus and His grace, that ultimately the world arches its back, that ultimately there is strong opposition, that ultimately Satan himself comes back and he attacks. So that the death of John is indicative that the kingdom of heaven must be advancing because it's causing this turmoil that happens when people in their hearts have to come to realize that Jesus Christ is Lord and King and that He is Savior for them, ultimately above all else in life. Where does that leave you and me? Well, we're part of this mustard seed that now has grown into this great bush that nobody quite understood how it happened with 12 apostles going out. But now the birds still sit in the bush. And now last Sunday, hundreds of thousands, millions indeed, Christians said, "Oh Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, pity us, have mercy on us." For John's testimony is true. Jesus receives people to himself. Look at the text. The two disciples are following John. They turn around to follow Jesus, and Jesus says, "What do you want?" Not much of a sermon there. And the disciples say back, "Where are you staying?" Rather mundane. And Jesus says, "Come and see." Amiable, hospitable, but no great sermon there. There are times when simple testimony and acts of faith and friendliness and kindness are always the precursor to this initiative of grace that goes out through the Christ as the Epiphany Christ manifests himself through the people of God in the face of the earth. And when Simon is brought to Jesus by Andrew, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, you'll be called Cephas." Initiative of grace, "I will make you rock. You will be called rocky because on your faith this whole thing ultimately will be built." The initiative of grace. And what keeps us from the initiative of grace? From the simple statements of faith, not these huge long sermons that tirade people into a corner, but simple statements of faith. Perhaps it's the fear of being criticized. I know one pastor who stopped making calls in life because he was criticized about the way he made calls, so he said, "I won't make calls anymore." And of course, he's not a pastor anymore either. Or perhaps it's the hope of gain on the job. Perhaps people will respect me if I say nothing. And yet, assertiveness proves people who yield all the time are just plain not respected. They are normally not heard. Maybe it's the advice of friends. I sat with some friends Sunday, and we were talking about the fact that in his neighborhood, a man who was 59 years old and who was retired and had been kind of blustery about the fact that he was retired, everything was in order, and he had this good life because he didn't have, when he got up in the morning and it snowed, he could go back to bed. And to him, that meant a lot. But now he has cancer of the lung, and it's in 3 vertebrae of the back also. And my friend said, "You know, if I have to sit in a nursing home, I'm just going to call the Hemlock Society." And I said, "There's still grace." And he said, "Maybe you should go get your collar and put it back on." And I said, "I'm sorry, I just had to say that." Maybe at times we don't say things simply because of our own sins or our struggle with sin. Maybe I should not be saying a simple statement of faith or maybe get too preachy because I'm still a sinner too. I have sins on my heart and life, and I have to come back to this great and gracious God in the Christ and ask Him to take away my sin as part of this blotting out in the atonement. The proclamation always depends on the absolution. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I believe in the atonement. I believe, I'm absolved, and then I say, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." Not the other way around. Then I tell of thy name to my brothers, because the atonement has applied to me. And then it is the Epiphany Christ coming through, not because of me, but because of what He is, the Lamb of God, who takes away my sins too. And in the same way, he helps me with my weakness. I don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit keeps interceding for us with groans that are deep, too deep for us to understand. And then it becomes these apples of gold, these simple statements of faith that are like apples of gold set in silver, as the writer in Proverbs says. They just fit. Day of infamy. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Behold, that lamb. Just a simple testimony of faith to Jesus. Amen.